pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Hour number three begins right now. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, hit us up on the text line. We seem to have triggered a lot of you about this Clancy trial. And I'm assuming I know where all you are going to line up here. But just like I said, when you approach these things, you got to keep an open mind. But it looks like the judge is about to send the jury off to go deliberate. And we'll see. If it's a fast verdict, it's bad news for the defendant. If it's a long time, then, you know, it may take a while for them to work through this. Let's see here. The women that are on her side aren't saying that they're okay with the killing of the kids. Half these people on TikTok are spreading stuff around saying the dad set all this up and set her up, and he's the one who did it. Yeah, well, that's not a mainstream viewpoint, I think, at least as it pertains to this case. Fire dog, if Lindsey Clancy was a 300-pound woman from a trailer park in Mississippi, there would be zero coverage. I bet there still would be. Squirrelverine, but those women will tell you they are being productive by being a voice for the voiceless and writing Free Palestine wherever it can be seen while sipping the rosé on the sofa. I find it funny when I see one of these annual, you beg to get nominated for a nappy and never get that from Facebook friends and family. Interesting take there, Squirrelverine. A nappy's kind of a sore subject for me. Unnamed texter, MS Now equals PSNBC. I can't stand Joe and Mika. That used to be a very relevant program. It used to be that block, MSNBC did one thing right, because it was a show when it was Imus in the morning, and then it became Morning Joe, and you had to take out sort of the weird unforced errors from Don Imus. But it really was like a show that didn't adhere to like whatever crazy left-wing ideology or orthodoxy. It leaned left, but it was just like any other public affairs program. It felt more mature. The content did. It wasn't the War on Christmas or whatever. Now, it got annihilated by Fox and Friends in the ratings. But it was a good stable show that was tolerable if you like morning news. And I watched it pretty regularly at the time. Then just like something changed when Joe Scarborough decided he was going to be a Democrat. Probably about the time that Donald Trump brought up the dead intern thing about Joe Scarborough, the show took a hard left turn. And it became more about Mika Brzezinski and less about Joe Scarborough of the late 1990s. It took a hard left turn. And it just became unwatchable. Mike writes, I always find it odd when April goes after others for their, quote, crazy ideas, unquote. Especially one of her buddies, Larry Loomer, is a certified absolute nutcase. But secondly, anyone who commits a heinous crime like that has to be a little nuts. But that's not a defense against committing a crime. It's just a level of insanity. You could be a little crazy or you could be insane. And I don't know where the jury at least is going to make that determination on the continuum of crazy to insane. Because yes, there is an insanity defense. You don't want to lock up people who are mentally incapable of making clear choices. So we want to be a compassionate culture. That doesn't mean a get out of jail free card at all, but there's a balance there, I think. Ultra Runner, cable news is abysmal. Fox promoted a kid to explain the world to me. The kid seems to have a regular flesh peddling segment where he sends a gay man to interview young women in bikinis. Bizarre. Any news recommendations? You know, I still think Jesse Waters' show matters. I think the Fox primetime lineup matters. They set the agenda. Like I said, I find myself watching a lot of News Nation, but you gotta like have the tolerance for the primetime and the crime time and primetime sort of stuff. You gotta, but they're not religiously wedded talking points. I think like cable news is good for, you know, there was a flood in Burma or Donald Trump is striking Iran and you want to know what's going on. The way they try to contextualize it, it's all in the, it's all confirmation bias. I have it running in sports and news, at least in my office, but usually at my house as well, at least during baseball season. But it's always on and you know, it's muted, but I, you know, it's, you watch these networks for trends. You look for trends and sometimes it's just like, there'll be just a grossly choreographed narrative out there by who knows who, probably some Democrat advocacy group or whatever, and they're religiously wedded to the talking point. They're not smart enough to do this, to craft talking points that don't come off as completely insane or as not insane, just completely astroturf. Because what kills me about cable news, Ultra Runner, is like how these anchors on these outlets just go along with the script. Maybe they're not deep intellectually. Maybe that's not what their job is at all. But they're way too good at it. The buzzwords are almost in sync with one another. How is CNN and MS Now running the exact same talking point at the same time on a given day? Maybe there's at some point it's, you know, just happenstance, but no, it's something that was sent to them and they're looking at it and they want to make their friend happy or whatever. I don't know. They want certain advertisers, whatever it may be. And that's what goes on. I mean, that's part of the messaging strategy. But the messaging strategy sometimes is a little too good. A little too on point. Tim, Jeff, I just put a half tank of diesel in my truck and it was over $100. And it was $100. I'm sorry to hear that. A half tank. Hey, Jeff, talk about the imported beef that's supposedly bad. How are you going to know what to do with it? One would have to assume that there are, we do have food safety in this country. Any of you are eating at an Argentinian restaurant, an Argentinian steakhouse? I mean, they know how to do beef. I don't believe it solves the problem. Trump's desperate here. The price of producing food in America has gone up. We've done the story from the the cattle farmers to the meat packers to the retail from farm to table, it's expensive. And so what happened? If the price of a head of cattle is at an all-time low and the meat packers are at all-time highs, and then at retail it's all-time high, how do we get those costs back down to something reasonable? Now, you know, there's all kinds of ideas. We're talking about subsidies or whatever. But there's like something fundamentally wrong here. But that's what they'll do ultimately, I believe. They'll start subsidizing meat packers. They'll start offering low cost on, subsidized insurance or whatever they need to get those costs down. And it'll just become another racket like government always does. Once people stop eating less beef, maybe that's what they want. But you don't see a lot of other meat products having the same inflation. Unnamed texter. She's already paralyzed from the waist down after she jumped trying to kill herself. Terrible matter. Nothing brings the kids back. You're right. Regarding the Clancy trial, if we flipped the script and the husband did it, how would this discussion change? Well, do men have postpartum depression? Sean, I get my news from Alex Jones and you, Jeff. Wow. I hope you can see clearly through, you know, my perception of things is not always right. I'm just a guy with a microphone, dumbass with a microphone here. But the trends are noticeable. So, like, I watch all this stuff so you don't have to, and some of that's true. But, imagine this, Sean, that, and I think about this all the time. These news producers, these bookers, these people who put whatever, be it your favorite podcast or your favorite cable news show or your favorite wherever you get your news, how do they go about deliberating what they're going to talk about in this block and what they're going to do in this segment? They don't just show up. Somebody has to write the scripts. Somebody has to formulate who the guests are going to be. They have cable news has bookers who look at what's going on in the news and they look for interesting guests. These comm shops all throughout DC and Manhattan, they know the bookers. They make pitches. It's how the news business works. And you got to make the show go. I mean, we do that on this show. Well, this is going on news, so let's have this guest on. But I think cable news is way more detailed. And they deliberate, and they spend copious amounts of time on this. Every guest. Some do it better than others. Like CNN just throws a panel on for a half hour, and we get Scott Jennings versus the world. But I think, the more ideologically disposed networks, which I'd say Fox and MS Now, really do spend time. And how is this going to advance our point of view? Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Cowboys, and they still are seen, sadly in search of, and one step and back of themselves, and their slow moving dreams.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response. Cowboys are coming up here in just a moment. Coming up on the program tomorrow, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News will make time for us, as he does every Friday. Dick Brubaker and Let me get him to talk about this prison stuff. We'll have a dollar amount, presumably, by the end of the day about how much more money they're going to borrow to build these prisons. And I bet it's a big number because I cannot see Tommy Tuberville and his administration really going to be eager to spend more money on prisons. So, you know, they looked at this and they said, okay, well, let's leave Coach with the problem. But they're going to hang their contractors, their handpicked contractor, out to dry. They don't want to do that either. So get ready for that. Brace yourself. But we'll talk to Dick Brubaker about that tomorrow. And then our returning champion, we'll probably have something to say about it as well, State Senator Chris Elliott, Peacock, dumbass with a microphone here, Jeff Poor. Thank you for that. Jeff, I raise a few cows now and then. Calves I purchased for $340 a head a couple of years ago are bringing $1,000 a piece today. Interesting. I just, what I hear is that the price of cattle has gone down. So maybe you know something I don't. I'm just basing it on the conventional wisdom that's being presented. I'm telling you, Jeff, these women are saying the husband did it. My wife has listened to this trial every single day. If she is found guilty, my wife will most likely be pissed off about it. I wonder what your wife thinks about it being a lawyer. She's just, she's not paying as close attention to it, but she is kind of how can you do this? And you put yourself in that woman's shoes and you look at your three little boys. We have three little boys. We have a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old. All kind of, you wonder, like, well, why would, you know, this is what you live for. My life revolves around my kids. Why would you do that? Maybe she didn't like her life. I mean, revolving around her kids, but ending their life is not going to, you know, free you up to go hit up karaoke night down at the local pub. So, you know, there's something off about this. It's not rational. It does seem like the act of a crazy person. Insane, I don't know what the standard for insane is. Rock and roll doctor. So cynical about the effectiveness of the federal government, Jeff? Certainly they were aware of balanced budgets, net positive income, or break-even cash flows. Yeah, right? Yeah, right. We haven't had a break-even federal cash flow since 1959. I think there's this mentality, and it's, how long have we been talking about debts and deficits in America? All my life. And we keep waiting and waiting. You know, this cliff is coming. I'm not saying it's not. But as long as it doesn't show up, what's to deter the behavior? Butter Knife, Jeff, I have seen a Sunday school teacher, the nicest man ever do this. You could never understand it. Have you seen a Sunday school teacher? We know very little about the brain. No, you're right. Butter Knife, I mean, the human experience is just full of bad influences. I guess the prosecution's trying to make, you know, did this woman know right from wrong? Was it an act of evil? If it's an act of evil, put her away. But how does someone seemingly be normal in her public life? Once you see the drugs, obviously there's something wrong there. And then this happened out of nowhere. And then, you know, somebody's really smart on the defense side. They've leaked a bunch of photos, making her look like a normal mom. But maybe we just don't know the entire backstory. Let's get a break in here. Oh, I think we jumped the gun a little early there. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, we'll be. That's the way to go about it. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Thursday morning, or what I should say, what's left of it. We'll get one more text in. Jeff, do you really trust the health inspections? Look around. We could have more disease now more than ever. Could it be the Trump administration at fault? I you know, is it foodborne? I don't think so. We're not eating bats. You know, I think a lot of the disease that's around, maybe it is foodborne, but it's kind of how the food is processed or manufactured. And, you know, but as far as the safety, yeah, I feel relatively confident about that unnamed texture. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now, he is the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porter Show. Former Congressman Parker Griffith is on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing fine. You know, up in the North Country, we're a bit busy, and I guess as busy as you guys are down in Mobile at the shipping area. But it's nothing slowed down in Huntsville or Madison County, and even over in the Florence area, they're busy. It's just, I just can't get over it, to tell you the truth. I keep thinking, surely they're overbuilding, but I pass by these apartment complexes on the weekends and they're full. But anyway, everything's going well. I'm thinking about sending Trump a check.
Uh-oh.
A campaign check. He's doing us a real favor. He cannot manage. He's in a war he can't get out of. Inflation is, I've had four what I thought would be solid Republicans are disgusted with the, and these are farmers, disgusted with the price of diesel and gas. And it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. And then the beef cattle guys.
Yeah, that was my question. That's when we talk about affordability, and I think the gas price matters more, but the beef discussion, the cattle farming discussion is very interesting because a lot of Trump's own people are turning on him on this, importing more beef.
Absolutely.
And, well, it gets to this, Congressman, when we talk about it. I keep hearing from cattle farmers how bad the market is. And then I go to the grocery store and I see how high the retail is on it. There's a disconnect here. What's going on? And that's a hard question to get answered.
Well, a part of the answer to it is everything you see in a grocery store is coming in on a truck and it's diesel. And
but chicken and pork and the other staples are not they're sure they're higher, but they're not as high as the beef.
Well, the beef herds are smaller than they've ever been, and I'm not sure why that is, but I know that there's a shortage, and pair that up with the cost of transportation of any kind of good going into a grocery store, and you've really got a problem there.
Are we just not subsidizing it like we do other sectors of ag, or why are there so few cattle? Like, what is going on then? This is the problem. Why are there thinner herds than there have ever been?
Well, you know, I don't have an answer for that. I'm a row crop guy. I'm a corn and soybean and cotton guy. And I don't know about the beef. I've got cousins up in North Louisiana that are beef cattle people. And, but they're not big. They're not the King Ranch in Texas.
Well, I think it's like they're just not commanding the price that it costs. The inputs, like you say, are high, but then that applies to every other sector of agriculture, that you're having to pay more for diesel, have to pay more for, you know, all the aspects, seed, fertilizer, et cetera. And then that seems to be universal. But there's something going on here, and the marketplace is, like, really out of whack. Now, I don't like what Trump's doing here, importing a bunch of beef. It just seems like a short-term thing.
No, that he
election gain, you know.
We don't know whether it's horse or cattle.
Well, Congressman, I mean, you know, you've had Argentinian beef. You've eaten at the restaurants and the Brazilian steakhouses, and I bet you
that's not what's coming in.
I don't know about that. There's no proof of that, but I don't think that's the solution at all. I understand trying to, you know, fix the supply demand curve, but there's something going on here. We don't need to be importing food when we should be able to produce it here at a satisfactory level.
Well, a lot of your beef processing is done by immigrants, and some of your major beef processing facilities, one of them just closed here in the United States, and it's moved to the Texas-Mexico border. We don't understand that immigrant labor drove a lot of our economy.
Why aren't poultry processing plants suffering from the same consequences? And you tell me that, yes, I'm sure there's illegal immigrant labor in all these, but why is it just hitting beef and not any other processing?
Well, I think it's a combination of a shortage of beef and then labor problems and diesel problems. It all comes back to, why did we go to war?
And that I don't. I mean, yeah. Hey, look, the war gripes are fair, and this art of the deal approach, where it's hot, super, and then it's, oh, we got peace coming, and yo-yo. I don't like that at all. But
it's the emperor's new clothes. I mean, Trump's walking around telling everybody it's okay, and he doesn't have a stitch of clothes on. And the people around him were saying, oh, no, you look great. You're doing fine. You heard me say this.
The ones who are telling him he's doing fine, there's a weird, like, dynamic here with foreign policy, and there's a lot of war hawks out there. You know, Lindsey Graham may have deceased, or may be deceased, but there's a war lobby here, it feels like. And guess what? And you say this on the show, you guys up in Huntsville are benefiting.
Absolutely. Listen, we've got over 100 retired generals, 2, 3, 4 stars, all running companies out here in Huntsville. I mean, they haven't seen a war they didn't like. And this drone warfare is absolutely set some of these businesses on fire. I mean, they are working 24/7. I think what we see, what is playing out here, and as a physician, I could probably see it a little better than a lot, but Trump cannot help himself. He's not capable of taking any kind of good advice. I mean, some of the most prominent economists said, don't do tariffs. It'll destabilize the world economy. Well, he knows better than anybody. You know, he's got that narcissistic personality disorder, and he just doesn't listen to anyone.
Well, and that's fine.
We're in the middle of a mess.
Well, let's talk about the tariff discussion because, maybe you're right. Fine. But would you acknowledge the problem it's trying to fix, which is, you know, unfair trade practices with other countries, Canada, China, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you rectify that? Or do we just have to live with it because we're the United States? I mean, is that just going to be the normal?
Well, if that was a good idea, he managed the good idea poorly. He did not bring Germany to the table, UK to the table, Spain to the table, France to the table. He just went about it on his own, thinking that he was not vulnerable to the economics of a global economy. I just absolutely ignored that.
Well, I think he underestimated their willingness or ability to fight back too. Like the idea here is you oppose these tariffs and they're just going to fold like a cheap tent is not true at all.
Not true. No, it is not true at all. And we didn't understand the culture that's out there in Iran. It's 140 million Shiites. I mean, you're not going to be pushing them around. They don't respond to that. And he's drugged this thing out to the point where China is supplying Iran with whatever it needs. Russia's doing the same. North Korea. He's lost credibility in the world. And one of our good friends in Canada, he's alienated the Canadians. They've been our buddies forever. He doesn't know how to manage.
Well, what would he do? Any other president. And I think it's fair to say, it's a fair critique to say that our trade agreements are not really benefiting Americans. I don't know. You travel this state, you could see all the hollowed out mill towns where jobs have moved overseas, and but protectionism might not be the fix here. I think there is some fruit on the vine. There's some things he could do to try to better that, but he underestimated the outcome of these trade wars that have kind of sparked up from these tariffs.
I think that's true, Jeff. I keep asking, what was wrong with the economy that he thought he had to fix something? We were doing very well. The country was doing well. What was he trying to fix?
I think this is Iran war. I mean, for Republicans, to do well in the midterms, the economy was going to have to be about where it was pre-COVID. It had to be firing on those cylinders, and then COVID happens, and then it shuts down. But, did he come in and do the same things that were going on in 17? I know. And things seem to be improving, maybe not quite robust as previously, but I think that the Iran conflict has been more of a lag on the economy than maybe they had anticipated.
Well, it's been a huge tax increase on everybody that drives. And it's a huge tax increase on everybody that shops in a grocery store. I mean, he has increased taxes on everybody in the United States with poor judgment. And it's unforgivable, really. And I think
a lot of
his people who are part of the cult is no longer happy.
Well, is there merit to what he was trying to accomplish with Iran? Because I think there is. And this is my theory, and I had no real basis of evidence here to offer you, but it got to be go time. The Israeli government and some of his advisors said, look, Mr. President, you're probably going to lose in the midterms. The Democrats are going to at least get one chamber of Congress. And Iran is moving along here. You want to be a historic figure. You've got to stop their nuclear program. Now's the time to strike. Now's the time to knock them down. Okay. They do that. They didn't. Maybe they didn't fully anticipate. They knew that Iran could do something with the Strait of Hormuz. And they knew it would have a negative consequence on the global economy, but that's where it kind of ended. And they thought, well, we could just weather the storm, and they can't. they can't weather this storm with the economy, and it's going to have a negative backlash. It's going to show up in the midterms.
Yeah, and to your point, I think that's exactly the kind of discussion that was going on. If you want to be a wonderful and leave a great legacy, they appeal to his ego. Everybody that knows or has been alive during the last year or two knows that Trump's ego was more important to him than anything. And he's got these yes people around him, and that's what he wants to hear. He wants his name on everything. I mean, he went to war. He was going to be a hero. Yeah. And
but I think deep down he didn't want a nuclear Iran, and he saw the way Democrats had handled it in the past, and, you know, Republicans never thought that was satisfactory of any stripe. And, you know, the one thing leads to another, but here we are, and I don't know if it's a forever war or whatever you want to call it, but does it look like it's ending anytime soon? Last word here.
Well, we need new leadership, and both Republican and Democrat. We've got too many old people, too much dead wood in D.C., and we need to clean it up. America can rebound faster than any country in the world. We know how to do that, but we've got to have the right coach. We've got to have the right leadership, and Trump is not that person. I don't know.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. I'm looking forward to President AFC fixing everything, but thanks for coming on this morning.
Okay, man. Take it easy.
Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porter Show. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, because I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
Come into your life like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. It's open to everybody out in radio land.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. What's led to this Thursday morning? Jim writes, Parker trying to spend beef prices on Trump. Last year, the ranchers ended up with low population of brood cows. Now we have low population of market steers. Several years of drought and dried up pastures, depleted stock ponds. Ranchers were forced to sell large portions of their herds because they couldn't afford feed costs. Building back breeding herds is straining the market. DI texter, the U.S. economy was trash pre-COVID. COVID became the scapegoat for bad policies. I disagree with that. Mike, anyone who gave an honest Trump an honest assessment ended up like Tulsi. She advised against Iran and was 100% correct in her assessment, but was pushed out because she wasn't a yes man. And B Dark, Jeff, did you say he wanted coach for president? And I said AOC. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff. We could go on and on, and maybe we will down the road on cattle prices and where we are with that. I think there's a lot more. It's not just the one thing. Everybody wants to make it real simple, so got them politically. It's not. Somebody mentioned feed prices. I can tell you this. Hay prices have gotten extremely expensive. Remember, I think it was 2 years ago. We were so dry. I think it was 2 years ago. So dry, and hay prices went through the roof because, you know, people weren't getting the number of cuttings of hay just down here, let alone people that bring hay in. So that went into it. Also, buying back in, right? So if you sold to buy back in to get more, the prices were going up, but it was costing you so much to produce that pound of beef. And somebody said to you on the text line, I think you mentioned earlier, with what the price is right now, and he said, yeah, calves, I don't know what he started at, but he was getting, you know, what, $1,000? I mean, right now, around 500 pounds is like the best weight. It's because they can pack more of them in a truck. And they're bringing, I think at Loosedale this week, $420 CWT, which is per 100 pounds. Like if you had a 500-pound steer, if you took $420 times five, that would give you your price of that beef. You see what I'm saying? So it's come down a little bit, 10, 15 bucks here in the last week, or right. last 2 weeks. So it is down a little bit here, but we'll see how far it goes down. And then, you know, it costs a lot more than just putting up barbed wire fences to produce, you know, produce beef. And also, the market can't, we can't hit the print button and print more real fast. It takes years to get the numbers up. So I think it's a pretty complex thing.
Well, it's like chaos theory, butterfly effect. It just kind of started small, and now, you know, everything that's happened, there's been some kind of consequence that has resulted from it, and they've all fed on themselves, and now how do you get back to some kind of normalcy?
I don't know. And what happens, too, when you run the ability to make a living running cattle, right, and then somebody comes, let's think about what's going on down here at this end of the state. Or they would have put in, well, not just data centers, but, you know, a solar farm or a neighborhood or something like that. And that cattleman can't see a way to make a living or hand that down to the next generation. What happens? Well, they sell and there's a neighborhood there. So.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, the oddities of the market right now. And people sell it off. It just, you don't have a lot of people going into this space anymore.
Nope. Hey, by the way, coming up in just a little bit, Dr. Ben Carson joins me on the show. Also in hour two, Kyle Hamrick. And we'll figure out, maybe could we take the Meta settlement money and pay for a prison? We'll talk about that.
Not enough money there. Anyway, I got to get out of here. It's been a pleasure. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.